This week, a new credit card bill takes effect after many complaints about hard-to-understand statements and ballooning fees and interest rates that fluctuate. We've heard lots from our listeners on the subject.
This is Kelly from South Carolina. I'm currently living without any credit card. I've removed myself from the banking system just because of the outrageous overdraft fees and whatnot. I may reconsider entering again once the new law passes that would limit their ability to overdraft charge and the crazy fees and whatnot.
Well, the new government crackdown is on complex fees and fines that may only add pennies per person, sometimes more than that, but they account for billions of dollars to the banks. And we want to talk about one type of fee that the government is now trying to rein in: automatic overcharge protections. Now, this is on your debit card, not on your credit card. Ron Lieber is a personal finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. He also edits the Bucks blog, and he's been watching overdraft fees like a hawk. And Mark Sorensen, he's an architect in Dallas, Texas, and Ron's article quotes Mark and says that he found out the hard way that breaking out of a financial commitment when it comes to overdrafts with the banks these days is hard to do. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Ron Lieber from The Times, let me start with you. People by now are all too familiar with some of the ways the banks can use what amounts to smoke and mirrors to squeeze extra money out of customers. How does it work with overdraft?
It's worked over the last several years is that people are often automatically signed up for overdraft protection, so that when they go to a store and use their debit card to attempt to make a purchase, or when they go to an ATM machine to withdraw money, the bank will allow them to spend or take out more than they have, and then charge them up to $35, sometimes more, each time they do it for the privilege.
So this is similar in a way to giving credit cards maybe to people who couldn't afford them and then charging them exorbitant fees for the fact that they can't afford them, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would go that far, but the problem that many consumers have with this was that this is not something that they asked for, and many people would in fact prefer to have the bank cut them off when they don't have money, as opposed to letting the charge go through sometimes repeatedly, six or seven times a day, and then ending up with a couple hundred dollars in fees. So they would just assume that the banks, cut them off and say, no, actually, you can't make that purchase, you can't make the withdrawal because you don't have money left. Again, this is something that they did not sign up for.
Now, Mark Sorensen, you turned to your bank, which I believe was Bank of America, to try to get out of your overdraft protection arrangement, correct?
That's correct.
And what happened when you tried to do that?
Well, I went into the bank and asked to be removed from the program, and they didn't have a problem with that. While they were waiting for the account to come up, the banker asked me if I was aware that I wouldn't be protected from any overdrafts from now on, and was I also aware that there would be occasions when a company would be able to put a hold on my account. That I wasn't aware of, and so I didn't say anything at the time. It wasn't until after I left that I started to try to figure out, in this instance, as a gas station would put a hold on my account, whether or not I would still have money in the account to be able to buy or purchase any other transactions.
So in other words, make your life a heck of a lot more inconvenient, I guess. Mark Sorensen, did you get the sense at all that the bank was trying to scare you or intimidate you into staying with a program that you would ultimately have to pay more money for?
Well, I went in with the understanding that I was determined to make the change, and I knew that that would be presented with the option that, or at least be presented with an argument that I should consider what I was doing. And I didn't want to go through any kind of conversation in which I would be put in a position where I would have to go through that conversation.
They're asking you to think twice there. Well, I want to point out that we did turn to Bank of America for their comment on this story, since they are Mark's bank. And I'll read you their statement here. We are not encouraging customers to remain in overdraft services, but ensuring they clearly understand the implications, end quote. That's a statement from Bank of America that they sent us this morning. Ron Lieber from the New York Times, there's got to be a lot of money at stake for the industry, and it occurs to me that maybe they're giving up some major profit potential now that a credit card bill of rights and crackdowns are passing in Congress. Are they likely to turn more heavily towards overdraft now to try to scoop up some more money?
Well, here's what's at stake. It's about $20 billion, that's billion with a B like boy, just from these two types of overdrafts that are now subject to these new Federal Reserve rules, the ATM withdrawals and the one-time purchase in a store with a debit card. They would prefer that this money not disappear from their revenue stream. And so, you know, while it's certainly up to consumers what choice they make, you know, the banks at various points may, you know, engage in the art of subtle or perhaps not so subtle persuasion or even scare tactics, depending on the individual banker and how aggressive they are in the branch, to try and convince people that it's in their interest to keep overdraft turned on. Because if, you know, 80 or 90% of their customers don't raise their hand and opt in, which is what the new rule requires, you have to now raise your hand as of this summer and
say,
the
difference.
I want this service.
That's
right.
The difference.
Right.
Well,
so that's
there,
what's changing.
Ron Lieber, are there consumers out there for whom overdraft protection is probably a good thing and it benefits them? How do you know if you're one of the people who should stick with it?
Sure. There are some people who treat this, you know, as another form of credit. And when they're, you know, down to the, you know, the last dollar, you know, because they're living hand to mouth, you know, every 2 weeks, if they're lucky enough to have a paycheck at this point and still be employed, you know, they can find this a convenience that's worth having. But for people who, you know, who don't intend to do this or don't want to pay the fees, you know, they were offered paying the fees or enrolled in this program without their knowledge before, either because they didn't read the fine print or the bank simply never told them. Right. And
well,
Ron, a number of these people who don't raise their hand and they want to be in it anymore.
Yeah, Ron, the lesson is you got to watch your bank like a hawk. Ron Lieber is with the New York Times. Mark Sorensen is an architect from Dallas, Texas, who's been fighting overdraft fees himself. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.